Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is 1:34 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer and Brendan Escott with you. The board firing off as we speak.
Hey, it happens.
It's a busy board. This is Oilers Now. And huge game tonight in the Western Hockey League. The number one and number two ranked teams in Major Junior Hockey. The Winnipeg Ice, who have lost just twice this season. Once was to Edmonton. Edmonton's ranked number two, and that was before the Oil Kings had Jake Neighbors back from junior, or back from the NHL, and before they'd acquired Caden Gooley from the Prince Albert Raiders. Both players will be on the World Junior team, joining Sebastian Kosa and likely Dylan Gunther. So a big one tonight in the Western League. Today was the U.S. draft. Edmonton made a couple picks. Tomorrow is a very pushed-back WHL Bantam draft. Normally it takes place in May, but because of the situation with the pandemic, it was moved to December. To talk about the two drafts, the U.S. draft and the Western Hockey League draft, we welcome to the show a guy who's grinded away the last several years, worked his way up, even spent some time with the Leafs organization. Edmonton Oil Kings scouting director Michael Chan. He's our Oilers Now headliner for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. Hey, Michael, how you doing?
I'm good, Bob. How are you?
Good. You wrapped up the, first of all, are you in town or are you with the team? Where are you guys, where's your headquarters, your draft room for this?
I'm in town and we're bunkered up in the Oil Kings dressing room because the team's on the road and got our war room set up in the dressing room.
When did you take over becoming the Oil Kings scouting director?
I believe it was August 8th.
Okay. And Jamie Porter went to, was it Colorado or Arizona? Where did he end up going to?
Jamie's in Colorado.
He went to Colorado. So for our listeners, so they're kind of aware, were you not with the, was it the Maple Leafs or where were you before this?
I was working with the Toronto Marlies and, with the Leafs organization.
Okay. So this is a little bit of, you're doing something a little bit different. How do you like the scouting game? How are you finding it?
You know what? I'm enjoying it a lot. It's definitely a different challenge than being on the coaching side. But Kurt, Jamie, Randy Hanch, and Jamie Novikoski, they've involved me in the draft over the past 5-6 years, and I've enjoyed that side of hockey operations. And Kurt presented me this opportunity to have a bit more involvement. So I've been really excited about being in the job, and it's been fun so far.
Now, I was under the impression, and you can correct me, is it next? It must be next season. You guys have the number one pick in the American draft, and that's just you don't get it based on standings, right? There's just sort of an open draw. Is that how it works for the American draft?
Correct. So this upcoming May, we'll have the first selection in the WHL U.S. priority draft, and it is determined by a lottery.
Okay. Tell me this. Two picks today for the WHL U.S. prospects draft. A defenseman by the name of Torrey Pitner and a forward by the name of Tyler Atchison. What can you tell us first about Torrey Pitner?
What can I tell you about Torrey? Torrey is a roughly 6-foot right-handed defenseman. Plays a very cerebral game, very good skater for his size, and makes excellent decisions with the puck, has a lot of poise and patience. We think he's going to be a good prospect for us.
And Tyler Atchison is a forward out of Las Vegas. What's the scouting? Go for it.
Yeah, Tyler's a forward out of Las Vegas. He's playing in Chicago for the Windy City Storm program, and he's a two-way winger. He's shown an ability to score goals in the past, and his brother Eric plays for the Spokane Chiefs, so we think he understands the commitment level it takes to succeed at this level, so we're excited to have Tyler on board as well.
How old are these kids?
They would be 2006 born.
Okay, so they're 15?
Correct.
Okay, they're 15-year-old kids. The fact that you have Rogers, is there any limitation on how many American kids you can have in your lineup in the Western Hockey League?
There is not a limitation, no.
Okay, and it's certainly something that Portland exploited to their advantage for a number of years. We know some of the stories there. The fact that you've got the horsepower of Rogers Place with the best dressing room in the Western Hockey League, and the level that the program's been at the last couple of years, is this an added incentive, do you think, for potential American kids who are looking at the WHL route versus maybe staying and playing junior A hockey and then playing in the NCAA?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it does a great job of kind of introducing us and them knowing who we are. And then further to that, obviously, like you said, with the success of the program, that helps with the notoriety. And then it's kind of been, once we've got to know these prospects and stuff, I think we have an excellent staff here with Kurt, Brad Lauer, and Luke Pierce. And I think that part of it, the people part of it, is has been instrumental as well.
You just draft best player available, or do you target specific positions? I mean, you're talking 15-year-old kids. It's a bit of a long play.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for sure we want to draft on the skill set and first, but you would kind of like to have probably four players play a year, and at some point in the process, you want the portfolio to be balanced, for lack of a better term. But I'd say the primary consideration is certainly their ability.
I took three calls from agents in the West here. Tomorrow is the WHL Bantam Draft. It's a pushback draft for it, which normally takes place in May, Michael, and I'm just wondering, how challenging was it given some of the COVID protocols that were out there, the limitations, not a lot of viewings for some of those kids when they were 14, the reliance maybe on information that you have from some of the respective academies? Was it a different year to prepare for this year's draft?
Well, being at my first draft, I guess it's all I know, but I think Kurt set up a great infrastructure for me to walk into. We had three scouts that were seeing every province and going down to the States and traveling as well. You know, Jamie Novikoski, Nell Zekman, and Del Reed, who have a ton of experience. They kind of helped me along the way, and I think we were able to get quite a bit of ground covered in the short time we did have. So we feel pretty good going into tomorrow.
How many picks do you have?
We have 9 picks, I believe.
Okay. You traded away one of the first rounders, the first rounder that got in the Connor McDonald trade, where you moved him to Kelowna. Kelowna went for it in the 1920 season. They were hosting the Memorial Cup. You ended up getting their first rounder. Of course, that Memorial Cup got canceled. You just moved that pick to the Prince Albert Raiders in the Caden Gooley trade. So you do have a number one. Do you have a number two?
No, we don't have a second or third.
Okay, so you got a bunch of later on picks, but you do have a number one. Any thought process to, in a perfect world, would you be making a pick with that first rounder, or could you see it getting dealt maybe for a second or third, so you end up with a couple extra swings at the bat?
That's a good question. There's some stuff being kicked around right now, but I think I would put the odds on us making the selection as of now.
So the 2021 WHL Bantam Draft is in December. The 2022 WHL Bantam Draft reverts back to the normal time of year, which is May. Which draft is deeper, do you think?
That's hard for me to say right now, because I think a lot of building out the player profile and figuring out a lot of where they're at mentally with their mindset and stuff has been coming in a little later in the draft. So To be honest with you, I don't have a great answer for that yet, but I think both classes are very strong. There's lots of good players available for the 06 and 07s.
I really respect the fact that you didn't try to BS me with that answer. I think that's good. Michael Chan joining us right now. All right. It's one of the challenges, and I know a couple fathers whose sons have remarkably overcome their genetics and are on the radar screen for the first couple of rounds of the Bantam draft this year. You got to do your work, don't you? You got to know who is going to go the WHL route, and maybe who is thinking of staying in the NCAA. So, is it as much in terms of recruiting the parents and the families as it is the respective kid?
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. I think the player is part of their family, and at the end of the day, these kids are 15 years old, and May they'll be 14. So. That, to me, for us to be comfortable as an organization, I think the whole family has to be on board and understand the path we're trying to take their kid down. So it is a lot about the families and getting them to understand kind of the way we do things here.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, the track record speaks for itself. There's a lot of people that care about junior hockey. They're going to be watching that game tonight between Winnipeg and Edmonton. You're going to be losing four of your... when you lose your players, they've got... I know they're on a road trip right now into Manitoba. When do the guys go off to the World Junior team, to the selection camp?
They're flying out of the Winnipeg airport tomorrow morning, Bob.
So they're playing the game tonight, and then boom, they're gone. I know that Xavier Borgo has been invited as well. He's an Oilers draft pick. His team's in action tonight. I'm not sure whether or not he's playing, but I'm going to be intrigued to see if that's the case. So, hey, Michael, good luck, and we'll be interested to see what sort of machinations occur, whether or not you guys acquire an extra pick or something tomorrow. I know that you're going to need a little bit of help in terms of depth-wise here of late, and we'll see if there's maybe another piece that and so people are aware, the WHL has a trade moratorium on current players in the league right now, so that can't normally, that would occur at a Bantam draft, and will again occur in May coming up this year. You're going to be a busy man over the next 6 months. Best of luck tomorrow.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Bob.
You bet. That is Michael Chan. He is the scouting director for the Edmonton Oil Kings, and he's grinded his way up. And at one time was the video coach at the University of Alberta for Ian Herbers. Did a real good job there. Was part of Herbers' back-to-back championship teams in 14-15, and then worked with the Oil Kings, and then went off to the Maple Leafs organization to work with the Marlies, and then was brought back into Edmonton. 1:46 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer and Brendan Escott with you on Oilers Now. Again, the Oil Kings moving up to number 2 in the Canadian Hockey League rankings. The Winnipeg Ice are number 1. They meet tonight. We will tell you that the best pizza in the city, still making it great, is Royal Pizza. Pizza, pasta, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years. For a menu and a list, there are 14 Edmonton and area locations. Go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. The Stauffer recommendation is the Mediterranean Chicken. Brendan's a big fan of the Texans, who might have to start Davis Mills at quarterback this week. We'll head off to a quick timeout, come back with this day in Oilers history, and as promised, get to some of your texts.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
1:37 in Edmonton. It is a Wednesday, and this text comes in on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Bob, what happened to David Staples from the Cult of Hockey? You mentioned yesterday he was on the show. David is fighting the effects. He's got a bad head cold. He went out to start up his car or something and came to... I'm just kidding. He, with all seriousness, he was having problems talking and took a pass this week. We'll endeavor to get him on the show next week. So there you go. Again, you can text us at any time at 780-496-0063. Cal in Spruce Grove says... Bob, not bashing Mikko Koskinen, but quite often those early goals are mostly weak, usually first couple of shots, and it deflates the team. I think it's time to find somebody better if that's possible. Not Fleury, not Price. their expenses and having their own expensive and having their own struggles of their own with save percentages and health. When is Mike Smith back? It's been 10 weeks roughly and still a no-show. Time to cowboy up or find a second choice, maybe play Skinner to see what we have. Still not sure if he's a backup. It'd be great if he was. Yeah, let's see what happens here over the next couple of weeks, but I do think that, you know, we're seeing a dip in the goaltending over the last three games. Skinner got the start in Seattle. I didn't like three of the goals. Maybe I'm being too hard. You'd say two for sure. I mean, Skinner's dropped four of his six decisions. Koskinen's won 12 of his 16, but has given up nine goals in the last two games. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. Bob, can you watch the Oilers with just a negative test result? Yes. They're still accepting people in the building, are they not, with a negative test result? I believe they are. Bob, do you see the Oilers trading for a goalie before the deadline? I would suggest to you that that is the potentially $2 to $4 million question. That would be my response to that. Whatever does that mean? Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. Bob, we should get rid of Klefbom, Cassian, Archibald, Koskinen, and Smith and get two good goalies from Khalid. All right, so Klefbom's at $4.2 million on LTIR. Cassian's at $3.2 million with 2 years left. Archibald's a pending UFA at $1.5. Koskinen is a pending UFA at $4.5. Smith has another year in his deal left at like $2.25. You're just not going to be able to get rid of all that. That's all there is to it. Certainly, I think there'd be a couple teams that would take Koskinen, depending if you went out and got another. I mean, what's Buffalo doing? Does anybody know? I guess they went and traded for, you know. But right now, Mikko's the best, you know, the most experienced starter the Oilers have, which is not to guarantee that he's getting the call tomorrow because I don't know what's going to happen. The Oilers didn't practice today. CBA mandated off day. And you can make an argument after the last two starts. Maybe it's turn to throw Stuart Skinner back in there. Let's go to this day in Oilers history for New West Travel. Looking for a great Oilers road trip? You fly nonstop to Nashville with Flair Airlines. Watch the Oilers play for only $1,750. You can reach out to New West Travel at newwesttravel.com. On this date, back in 1985, during the 85-86 season, where I learned one of the greatest lessons ever in life. What happened, Brendan?
Jari Kurri opened the scoring with his 250th career NHL goal. The Oilers go on to beat the visiting Chicago Blackhawks 4-3 at Northlands. Marty McSorley, a rare two-goal night, and Andy Moog secured the win in goal to bring the team's record to 24-4.
And the lesson I learned is you can have all the talent in the world. That was the 85-86 season. But if the other team matches your work rate or works harder or works smarter, sometimes margins are tight. And the Oilers lost four times to Calgary in the playoffs that year. And Calgary was very close talent-wise to Edmonton. The Oilers had better higher-end skill, but Calgary was dedicated to their approach. It was a learning lesson for the Oilers players. And they would go on to win three Stanley Cups in the next 4 years, including one without Wayne Gretzky, which is an incredible accomplishment. This day in Oilers history brought to you by New West Travel. Looking for a great road trip? Fly nonstop to Nashville with Flair Airlines to see the Oilers play for $1,750. Again, you can reach New West Travel at newwesttravel.com. Bob, what about Barry? What about Tyson Barry for Yanni Gord? Or Yamamoto for Greenway and Cassian for picks? I could see Seattle needing an offensive power play specialist. Right now, I mean, Giordano's contract's up in a year, at the end of the year. Vince Dunn's kind of running their power play. So I could see that being a possibility, that they might be the type of team that would be in on Tyson Barry. I'd also see Seattle as a team that would be in on Kyler Yamamoto. Makes sense in that market. He played his junior hockey in Spokane. I don't see a deal Yamamoto for Greenway. Greenway is a big, physical kid. I don't know how tough he is, but he runs around, and he has taken fights against some of the best guys in the league. And I'm not sure what's going to happen with Cassian. Bob, Jamie says, Bob, a negative test result must be within 72 hours of puck drop to enter into Rogers' place. Yeah, I thought that was the rule that was still in place. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. Todd from Trochu is going to get the last word in the Ashley Fine Flores text line. Bob, I see a bigger problem beyond goaltending, and that's the lack of grit and sandpaper. I don't think the Oilers are physical enough or hard enough on pucks, and definitely lack swagger. I watch Calgary, and there always seem to be a bit of bite in their game. It's going to be worrisome come playoffs. Well, you know what? Any concern over the playoffs until Edmonton proves they can win in the playoffs is completely fair. It is. I think part of the reason why Nyman Lainen might get a longer look than people think is because he's got exactly that. He's got some bite. So, there you go. Here we go. We will tell you that we'll have a full preview of tomorrow's matchup between Edmonton and Boston. The Bruins are in Vancouver tonight. Sportsnet color analyst Louis DeBrus for GCL Diesel tomorrow, as well as Kevin Weeks from the NHL Network and ESPN 4 Canadian Power Pack. Alberta's leader in electrical construction service, electrical prefabrication, and solar. Reed Wilkins has Inside Sports tonight. What's he got shaking, Brendan?
You're going to hear from Kelly Rudy from NHL Hockey on Rogers, Boston Bruins fan, minor hockey coach, and the host of Shea Ganem on 630 Ched. Shea Ganem. And former Elk safety, a good friend of Bob Stauffer, Trent Brown.
How come he keeps getting Trent on? Like, what's with that? Hey? Trent's a good dude. Great player back in the day. Adam Morrison, Golden Bears hockey team, was a spectacularly gifted player, an electrifying guy to watch, and Trent Brown was pretty special in around the same time, late 1980s at the U of A. All right, up next, the Global News Weather Traffic Update with Eileen Bell, followed by Rob Breckenridge today from 2 to 3, then 6:30 Chat Afternoons with Jalen Nye. I'll rejoin you tomorrow at noon from Rogers Place. So long, everybody.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.